Atlantic to the Pacific, across the islands of the Caribbean, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos. We're pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We've assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. Remember, tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. Go to the website, wrightscoinshop.com, or you'll find the link at speakingofstrange.com. To learn why that it is such a popular and successful business and how Wright's Coin Shop can help you. I also want to let everybody know that, of course, here it is, springtime finally. You know, Forrest and I are suffering from hopefully our last colds of the season. But over the winter, we did so well selling Sunshine Simple solar generators for the home. I've got some good news for everybody. We just ordered parts for our next batch of generators, and we've been able to order such a large batch that we've gotten a price break or a new price bracket. And so for this next batch of generators, if you order one right now, you can get one for $200 less. So the generators were $1,495, but if you order yours right now, you can save $200 on this batch, and we'll also provide free shipping and handling. There was a time when we thought we were going to have to increase the price, but for the time being, thanks to the winter, it's now lower. So go to sunshinesimple.com. sunshinesimple.com, and watch the free video there. And if you want to get one, you can't beat $200 off. So here it is, coming up on the month of April. And every year, we pause to talk a little bit about why the month of April is such a weird month. And if you don't know this already, it's important for you to just consider, historically, all the things that have happened in the month of April that most people would consider bad. On the other hand, it could be considered good because, for example, you have wars that start in April, but then you also have wars that end in April. So, you know, good and bad is always a bit of a subjective matter. But a lot of the things that we collectively, globally consider tragic events have happened in April. And I didn't even start picking up on this until many years ago. I dated a girl named April, and her birthday was around, I think it was April 19th. And so I always noticed that right around her birthday, it seemed like some kind of horrible thing would happen. You know, it would be all over the news. And so I started wondering why that was and keeping track. And let me just go down this quick list here of some of the things that have happened in the month of April, and you'll see just how against odds it may appear when you compare it to other months. Obviously, for one thing, April starts off with what we call April Fool's Day, and we'll talk about that some a little bit later. And then in the U.S., that's also when taxes are due, so that sucks for a lot of people, yeah. But the American Revolution, which really started with Paul Revere's ride, that began in April, April 18th through the 19th, there around 1775. The American Civil War started in April of 1861 and ended in April of 1865. Thus, it is often known as the battle or the war across five Aprils. As a matter of fact, the Battle of Asheville took place in April of 1865. A number of other wars around the world, the Bosnian War, April of 92, the Rwandan genocide, April of 94, the Armenian Genocide, April of 1915. Other events in the month of April, Abraham Lincoln was assassinated April 14th of 1865. The 1906 San Francisco earthquake happened April 18th, 1906. The Titanic sank April of 1912. The Red Baron killed his 80th victim before being gunned down April of 1918. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated April 4th of 1968. Apollo 13, the notorious unsuccessful mission to the moon, launched April 11th of 1970. The Chernobyl nuclear accident happened April 26th of 1986. The 1992 Los Angeles riots after the Rodney King verdict, April 29th of 1992. The bloody end to the Branch Davidian siege in Waco, Texas, was April 19th of 93. The Oklahoma City bombing was April 19th of 1995. The Columbine High School massacre in Littleton, Colorado, April 20th of 1999. The 2007 Virginia Tech massacre happened April 16th of 2007. The Deepwater Horizon drilling rig exploded, killing 11 people and creating one of the largest environmental disasters in history, April 20th of 2010. And just last year, April 15th of 2013, we had the Boston Marathon bombing. When you look at births, Hitler was born April 20th of 1889. He died April 30th of 1945. Saddam Hussein was born April 28th of 1937, and his reign in Iraq ended with the war April 9th, 2003. Anton LaVey, founder of the Church of Satan, was born April 11th, 1930. Interestingly enough, a lot of people, experts, believe that Jesus was actually born around April 17th. And Buddha was born about April 8th. In other strange sort of stories, you have a story you'll encounter if you visit the Asheville Mystery Museum. The ghoul of the old jail, which haunted and terrorized prisoners, that incident happened April 18th of 1908. I could go on and on. Of course, a lot of people think diamonds harbor curses, like the Hope Diamond, and the stone of April is the diamond. I'm just hitting the highlights here. So what is it about the month of April that makes it so extraordinary? It's a big mystery, and so I decided to look a little bit more at the origin of April and see if there were some clues there. Of course, April is really the month when spring is thought to truly begin. And yeah, it's just dragging on and on for you guys, isn't it, the winter?
It is. We had snow yesterday.
Is that right?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Well,
or day before yesterday. So one of those days.
So what's the temperature like there, Forrest, right now?
Right now, I mean, it's hard to say. I'm stuck in here in the studio. I can't really tell what's going on. But earlier this week, it was... like in the evenings it was about mid-50s. It was nicer during the day, but we've had some moisture move in now.
Yeah. Well, the Romans named the month the Latin named Aprilis, and they say the derivation of the name is uncertain. The traditional etymology is from the verb eparir, which means to open. So, in allusion, they think, to it being the season when the trees and flowers begin to open. So, they say that some of the Roman months were named in honor of divinities, and April was sacred to the goddess Venus. But ultimately, they're still uncertain as to what the origin of the name is. They think it has to do with just this opening of the month where the spring begins. But what's the story behind April Fools? You know, where does this strange thing originate from? April Fool's Day, of course, is celebrated on the 1st of April, a day when people in various countries play practical jokes on each other. And they say the very first time there was a reference to April 1st being the day when you would play these types of jokes was in Chaucer's Canterbury Tales. And this goes back to the year 1392. And they say even, you know, that reference was a little bit vague. But for hundreds of years, people have played pranks on each other around April 1st, and yet nobody knows why. They say in Italy, France, and Belgium, children and adults traditionally tack paper fishes on each other's back as a trick and shout April Fish in their local languages. And so this idea of being tricked and some kind of foolishness on that date is something that is widespread, is historic, but again, nobody knows why. And I find this even weirder because it's not an official holiday, but it's something we all know about. So we have this month where all of these sort of, you know, weird and often bad things happen. The month begins with a day of trickery, and yet nobody is certain why all these weird things happen in the month of April. Nobody's certain, you know, of what the name really refers to. They just speculate. And nobody has any idea how this April Fool's thing started. So, you know, I set out tonight to try to give you some answers. But it turns out that the mystery has just deepened because there really isn't an answer. They don't know. I mean, Forrest, do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, I've heard, I don't know if you touched on it, but I heard it's like anyone that's still celebrating the new year in April is an April Fool because the year's worn on and it's time to stop celebrating the new year because it's no longer a new year. And if you're still celebrating the new year, you're April 1st, you're an April Fool.
Yeah. You know, and then again, that's just another legend. I mean, nobody seems to know.
Right.
Well, we need to take a break. When we come back, I am going to give you a little bit of interesting insight on how the certain times of year and even certain symbols, even names, seem to have an association with the paranormal and the mystical. For example, a man was just busted for a crime. He was wearing a Superman outfit. And his name was Christopher Reeves. I'll explain when we return. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
So you think you could tell heaven from hell?
Me too. I'm your puppet.
story about the corn dog wreck.
Right.
In Louisiana.
Right.
Do you know why I'm bringing that up right now?
Is it related to the song, or?
Yeah, it's related to the song.
You've got me on this one.
This song is the theme to one of our favorite movies, Forrest.
Oh. Gotcha. Triple Gay Marine.
Yes. For those of you who are listening to this show who have never seen a movie called The Corn Dog Man, I highly recommend it. It's an obscure film, but...
Well, shot in South Carolina.
Yeah, exactly. It was shot right around the Charleston area, sort of on the outskirts, the low country. I won't try to describe what the movie's about, but The Corn Dog Man. Just go check it out. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, where your money becomes more money. Write down the number to Wright's Coin Shop so you can call up Shelly and harass her. 828-298-5402. 828-298-5402. Are you a corn dog fan, Shelly?
I don't think so.
No, really?
Yeah, I think that's more of a guy thing.
How is eating a corn dog a guy thing?
I don't know. I just think it is.
Okay. You must apply some very special meaning to eating a corn dog that I don't know about.
Well, girls, none of my friends eat corn dogs that I'm aware of.
Do you eat hot dogs?
Yeah, I like hot dogs, but I don't eat corn dogs.
Do you prefer a foot long or like a regular size one?
A regular size hot dog.
Yeah. Is Hot Dog King still in operation?
You know, I don't know if they are or not. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. They
used to be on the corner right there near Wright's Corn Shop's old location.
Right, and then they knocked the shopping center down.
Yeah. Because I when I was a kid, I used to love going to Hot Dog King and getting a big foot long with... chili and coleslaw and whatnot on it, but now when your shop, Shelly, used to be next to Hot Dog King,
it was
you obviously
close.
Were you going over there eating hot dogs all the time?
Nope.
Well,
no,
see,
but we had a lot of customers that were.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, and mind you, folks, even though right now. Spring is about to kick in. Well, I mean, really, it's spring, but, the weather is still a little up in the air. If you go to hauntedashville.com, you can take a ghost tour, but we will still give you 50% off of a ghost hunt until April 1st. So that means you still have a few days. Come April 1st, that promo is over. Because that's something that we just do for the winter. So you just have a few days. If you want to take advantage of it, do a ghost hunt at the Asheville Masonic Temple for 50% off. Go to hauntedashville.com. And, of course, we have our regular tours and all kinds of other fun stuff. But here it is. It's coming up on April. And... I mentioned that nobody knows, apparently, why that April is associated with weird stuff. And it's not just a matter of being associated with what you might think of as bad luck, but also a lot of paranormal things happen, many paranormal things happen in April and September. Lauren Coleman has done a good job of writing some in his books about these patterns or clusters of things that seem to take place historically at certain times of year. Why is it that April and September are times when people tend to see more Bigfoot or tend to be abducted by aliens more, etc. Well, there also seems to be this odd connection between names of people and whether or not something sort of weird, often tragic, may happen to you if you have a certain name. And one of the best examples of this that I remember Coleman specifically pointing out was the name Reeve or Reeves, especially when you look at the Superman connection, because the first sort of famous actor who portrayed Superman was named George Reeves, and he ended up dead young. Supposedly, he committed suicide, but there are people who believe that he was murdered. In fact, I believe the movie Hollywoodland sort of dramatizes that with Ben Affleck portraying that actor. And then, of course, you look at Christopher Reeve, who, in my mind, will always be Superman, and the tragedy that he endured. Those are just some prominent examples of how the name Reeve or Reeves seems to be associated with often sort of bad or unsettling vibes. And so I see this story here from...
I've got a friend that I used to work with Reeve, and he's had all kinds of tragedy in his life, like sisters dying, like siblings dying young, and just like just all kinds of just weird things like that happening.
Really?
Just to bring that into the equation also.
Just another personal example. Okay. Well, here's a story from Salt Lake City, Utah. And the headline is, man named Christopher Reeves busted for meth in Superman outfit. Says here, a man named Christopher Reeves, not to be confused with Christopher Reeve, the late actor, known for his portrayal of Superman, was arrested in Utah earlier this week after allegedly driving his truck under the influence. Deputies pulled over Reeves, who was wearing a Superman T-shirt and blue pants at the time of his arrest. After they caught him speeding, he failed a field sobriety test. They found synthetic marijuana, drug paraphernalia, and a bag of meth, which weighed 52 grams, and they, you know, they booked him. Well, when it comes to this idea that there are certain names and certain times of year that are associated with what you might just say the paranormal, the question has always been, and this is a very vast concept to grasp. Are there certain harmonic patterns that exist throughout the universe that are associated with a type of event, and we only see the expression of that event condensed into an individual's name or the time of year? Now, this is getting out there, but hey, you know, you, those of you who listen to this show, you like to get out there. You like to think on the fringes and the edges. Because if you consider that everything that you experience, whether it be a physical object like a table, or whether it be a sound that you hear, or a form that you see, these are all the product of energy fields that are congealing and condensing in a certain way in front of you. And so is it possible that whatever energy field represents tragedy, for example, might frequently materialize into the vibration that sounds to us like Reeve or Reeves? Now, if this is not making a great deal of sense, also it goes back to like the Jewish tradition where they believe that if you speak the name of God, Yahweh, that is literally conjuring the energy of God. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this. And I have a story here about new data related to the idea of a multiverse. Deep stuff. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange. P. Warren. Tonight's program brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, 828-298-5402. Call up Shelley at Wright's Coin Shop, 828-298-5402. We are talking about, well, the strange connection between vibrational patterns in the universe and the cosmos and how they may condense down into words, objects. And, you know, one reason I love this topic is that it seems to reflect the magic in everything around us. That is to say that maybe you've seen some of these videos on the internet where somebody in a laboratory will take a big speaker and they'll have the speaker on its back and they'll sprinkle a layer of sand over top of the speaker. And then they'll play a tone through the speaker and instantly this random layer of sand snaps into a beautiful pattern. You've seen this before, Forrest, haven't you?
Yes.
And, in fact, if you do the same thing using certain types of sort of semi-liquid substances, it will not only distribute into a nice two-dimensional pattern, but it will also sort of stand up and create three-dimensional morphs and patterns. And so the idea here is that everything in the universe is vibrating, and the things that we hear with our ears, the things that we see with our eyes, the things that we feel with our hands are sort of held into place because there are these vibrational harmonic patterns that are the foundation of the structure. And we get to see all of these clusters of matter sort of stick within those, or we get to experience the sound of these vibrations strumming our eardrums a certain way, etc. And that everything around you sort of begins with a vibration. But then also, sometimes you have to ask yourself about the chicken or the egg phenomenon. For example, Shelley, during the break, you mentioned, and you don't have to say this on the air if there's a reason you don't want to, but you said that there's a certain name that you're aware of that's been associated with, what did you say?
The name or that has been associated? Well, there's a disproportionate number of serial killers whose middle name is Wayne.
Okay. And, you know, I watched a documentary a while back. I think it was like Freakonomics or something like that. And they did a whole big segment about how you can determine to a great extent statistically how somebody is going to turn out in their life based upon their name. So, like, for example, they said, you know, a very popular name for a stripper would be, like, Misty, you know. So, like, if you name your daughter Misty, maybe there's a higher likelihood she's going to become an exotic dancer. On the other hand, a very popular name for, like, leaders and politicians is George. So, you name your kid, you name your son George, maybe he has an advantage in becoming some type of a prominent leader. Well, and in fact, they even in this documentary that I'm recalling, they had like two boys, I think they were identical twins, and one was named something really positive and the other was named something really negative, and they followed them their whole lives, and they, you know, pretty much showed how the name impacted them. But the question becomes, when you as a parent come up with a name for the kid, is that what determines certain things about the way that child's life is going to unfold and the opportunities he or she will have? Or was it meant to be that this child had an energy pattern that already existed even before the kid was born, and that that is what subconsciously triggered the parents to give it the name? Does that make sense, Shelley?
It makes sense. I always thought you'd grow into your name. Okay, take this for example. Cary Grant. Everybody knows Cary Grant. And he was so... Everybody knows about Cary Grant. All right, you know what his real name was? Archibald Leach.
Yeah. Leach, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, can you imagine being saddled with that name for the rest of your life? And I think it was Cary Grant that said, figure out what it is that you want to be and be it. And he grew into Cary Grant.
So obviously, you know, the way that you are named, it's going to make an impact on how your life unfolds for you. But where we take that greater leap into the next dimension is when you say, how is that going to determine whether or not you're abducted by aliens? You know, how is that going to determine whether or not you see a ghost or you encounter a Bigfoot? Because it's one thing to look at this from a sociological perspective and say that humans have certain biases and connections, you know, that they will associate names with. But if this actually goes beyond to a physical element of whether or not you're, you know, zipped away into another dimension, well, what does that tell us about these energy patterns, especially if you believe, as scientists tell us, that past, present, and future are all essentially taking place at once, and we're sort of passing through it? And it becomes even more interesting when you continue to see reports like the one I have in my hand here from National Geographic. And this is actually a rather complex story, and so I'm going to try to just give you the gist of it. But it says here, Big Bang discovery opens doors to the multiverse. Gravitational waves detected in the aftermath of the Big Bang suggest one universe just might not be enough. And then it goes on to say, the latest news from Big Bang cosmologists offers us some relief from our humdrum four-dimensional universe. Gravitational waves rippling through the aftermath of the cosmic fireball point us to inhabiting a multiverse, a universe filled with many universes. Now, of course, this kind of sounds like old news, but they are saying that they have got new data here which confirms this, that there are gravitational waves that they have somehow incorporated into a model at Stanford University and Harvard, the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, et cetera, saying that the multiverse seems like it is the answer, that it is the reflection of what actually is happening in our lives. And it says here, the universe is a smorgasbord stuffed with every possible free lunch imaginable. That means that every kind of cosmos is out there in the aftermath of the Big Bang. Again, some of this gets pretty complicated, but they say that, as we know, there are at least 11 dimensions that humans are interacting with instead of the four that we actually observe. And there could be a staggering large number of possibilities, like a one with 500 zeros after it, whatever the hell that means. But they're saying ultimately there's most likely a multiverse containing zillions of universes. And since you and I are a part of everything, then that means if there are zillions of universes, then you exist in some way in every single one of those universes. So you're spread out over this unimaginable plethora of dimensions, and you're only seeing slices of yourself in any one dimension or another. We're going to take a break. When we come back, there's a story I want to share with you about this fear that right now a lot of people in the UFO field are being murdered. There seems to be a pattern, that's the theme here, a pattern of deaths. And we're going to dig into that, and if we have time, I'll also tell you about something that's been happening scaring people regarding military training in Florida. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
We're up all night to get lucky.
final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. Next hour, we call the Dark 30 Hour. That's when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial news, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. So you can determine whether or not you want to stick around for that. You know, recently, Dr. Roger Lear passed away. And Dr. Lear was the man best known for dealing with alien implants. And I met Roger Lear in, I guess, it was 2008. Forrest, it was when we went to the Laughlin event out there for the International UFO Congress.
2008,
2009. Okay. Did you get to meet him?
I did.
Forrest. Yeah, and he was a very nice, genuine, warm man, and he actually had agreed to come on Speaking of Strange, and for whatever reason, we ended up having some problem with scheduling, and I don't know that he ever actually came on the show, but he was a real nice fella. Everybody loved him, and I'm still unclear on exactly what happened to him, but the fact that he died brought up this bigger conversation about UFO experts dying off mysteriously and questions about whether or not they're being murdered. There's a new book coming out soon to investigate the pattern of deaths. And apparently it has been written by our good friend Nick Redfern. It's called Close Encounters of the Fatal Kind. Due out this summer. We're definitely going to have Nick on to talk about this. They say a crop circle researcher was found floating in the sea. There was a rapid decline of a UFO expert who believed he'd found an alien skull. I'm sure that was Lloyd Pye, who has been on Speaking of Strange. And all kinds of other deaths. And this is something that goes back a long, long way. Prominent activist Stephen Bassett supports the idea the U.S. government has regularly murdered innocent citizens who've tried probing into UFO cases like Roswell. And he says we're looking for death clusters. You know, when I was out there in Boise, I got to meet the daughter and granddaughter of Kenneth Arnold. And he was the man who was flying his little airplane there in Washington State in 1947 and looked out the window to see these strange objects flying alongside his craft. And he later told the media that they seemed to be skipping through the air like saucers on water. And he, therefore, coined the term flying saucers. This story says even he had a close call. When Kenneth Arnold took off from Tacoma, his engine failed, and he had to make a crash landing. On checking his aircraft, he found that his fuel valve had been switched off. Paul Lance, a reporter for the Tacoma Times who covered that story, died suddenly 2 weeks later of meningitis. So, you know, this gets pretty darn deep, and I personally know people who are not famous, who started to reveal something about UFOs, and something bad happened to them. So, and some of these things I don't talk about because of privacy issues, but, you know, I've seen this sort of thing myself over and over again. And so, you know, it always makes you wonder about the extent to which this secret is being kept. And to what extent this has a relationship to military training exercises. Here's one last quick story before we go to break. This one is from Broward County, Florida. The Department of Defense is conducting military training there. Exercises are scaring the crap out of people. They're involving low-flying helicopters. They're firing blanks and machine guns and dropping grenade simulators. No one was told in advance about the drill. After residents in downtown Fort Lauderdale began reporting low-flying military helicopters during the week, news reports emerged containing details of the DOD training. And it says here that, you know, this is bizarre that they're in highly populated urban environments and scaring people silly with these low-flying black helicopters. And they even hear machine guns firing all at night. What are they doing? You know, what is the purpose? Is there something big that's about to happen? I mean, is there finally going to be some revelation? Are we talking about a scenario where those who have information about the ETs or the visitors or the interdimensionals are about to open this new door for us all, and they're cleaning out the ambassadors to prepare the way? They don't want people who have inside information to compromise the security of their operation. I don't know. We're going to take a break, though. When we come back, it'll be, yes, the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.